Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider part of their daily health routine. So I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The very same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. It's a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about a new paradigm of preventive cardiology. That's what the life's work of today's guest has been all about. He's Dr. Steve Helshine, and he has wide experience in integrative medicine, having studied chiropractic, naturopathy, acupuncture, physiotherapy, massage, homeopathy, Ayurveda, nutrition, and herbology. And also he brings to bear high-tech medicine in something called Level 1 Diagnostics. I'll spell the last name for you because it's not intuitive. It's H-E-L-S-C-H-I-E-N. Right, Dr. Helshine?
Yes.
Okay. And so coming back, you know, we talked earlier about the Zona. What's been your experience with the Zona? What can patients expect? How long do they have to do this routine? It's about, 12 minutes every day. You suggest it be done in the morning. How long before they'll see results?
So the results come on in about 2 to 4 weeks. Remember that you're building not only nitric oxide production in your body, but you're also helping build what's called collateral circulation. Hmm. And most people don't understand that. So we have miles and miles and miles of blood vessels running from our arteries to our capillaries, from the bigger arteries and veins to the smaller ones. And when we are doing a grip strength exercise program, we are helping to create a whole new chain of extra blood supply, extra vessels, which support getting the job done.
Right. Most it's kind of like when I'm on the Long Island Expressway and it's blocked. I take an exit and go on the service road for a while until the traffic clears up. And that's precisely what collateralization is about. Even after a heart attack, if an artery is blocked, that's what the body does naturally. You know, so if we can encourage that process, then we'll have better circulation.
So, Dr. Hoffman, you're absolutely right. And what most people have never thought about is that we can live a month without food, we can live a week without water, but we can only live 3 minutes without oxygen. Oxygen is our most important macronutrient, and the whole purpose of the cardiovascular system is it's an oxygen delivery system. It brings oxygen from the tip of your nose to the bottom of your toes.
Indeed. So the other question I have is, you know, for people who are already on blood pressure medication, can they still use the Zona Plus? And is there a danger that they might go too low in blood pressure? Do they have to do this under close medical supervision?
So the answer is they can absolutely use the Zona Plus. Zona Plus has very few contraindications, and I'll go over them in a minute.
Okay.
But what you should do is have an at-home blood pressure device, and you should be taking your blood pressure at least once a week, even if you're on medication, because you want to make sure that some other things that you're doing in life, like losing weight or exercising or drinking more water, they're not having a positive effect on your body and decreasing your blood pressure. And you may be able to call your doctor and say, hey, you know, I am now at 130 over 90 and you have me on a dose of 80 milligrams of blah, blah. And is it time that we looked at coming down off that dose.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe for three medications, maybe, you know, just cut back to two or somehow adjust your dosage.
Sure. So, you know, it's very common for doctors to put people on a three different medication regimen, something like amlodipine, telmisartan, and hydrochlorothiazide, a diuretic. And it's sometimes, if you do grip strength exercise programs, you get that heart rate down, and that allows the doctor to say, we're going to take you off of amlodipine. Don't ever take yourself off a medication. Always be a partner with your doctor and ask them to judge how you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's, I think, an important caveat, you know, because I think a lot of people think it's an all or nothing proposition. It's either, you know, take medication or use the Zona. And, you know, it's even an improvement if, say, you do need one medication, and maybe that's as far as you get with the Zona and with diet and exercise. And that's better than being on three medications where they have debilitating effects.
Sure. So, you know, let's say you're on one medication that makes you tired, and the other medication gives you erectile dysfunction, and you're able to get off of the one medication. That's a lot better than having both set of symptoms caused from the drugs.
Exactly.
Now, there are a couple of things that you should look out for with as contraindications for using the Zona Plus. One of them is if you have an aneurysm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other is if you have a mitral valve problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is, we always say if a woman's pregnant, consult with her OB-GYN before adding a program into her regimen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are reasonable precautions. What about people who have reduced grip strength? You know, I have some older patients, some patients who have arthritis in the hands. Are they just not suitable candidates for this?
They should start slowly. They're not going to be able to grab it and squeeze it as hard as somebody who does not have arthritis. But what we found is that grip strength exercise program increases nitric oxide production in the body, which causes the area to get dilation in the arteries and the peripheral arteries. That causes more blood supply to go to the hand. So if there is a arthritic inflammation problem due to lack of oxygen, it's going to help this. And the nice thing about the Zona Plus for them is there's no real downside. Mm-hmm. If they turn to their doctor
graded.
After
it's
a month.
It's graded. In other words, the computer program within the unit sets it up. So if you're like Charles Atlas, it's set at a very high level to challenge you. But if you are a little limited, it's set at a much lower level. It's adaptable.
Exactly. And again, we've also found that at the end of a month, if a patient ever turned to us and said, you know, I've really given it the college try and it's not working for me, we take the unit back. Mm-hmm. We will get it into the hands of somebody who can use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the nice things about the program is that it is there's a long trial period. And, you know, if you like it, it's working for you, great. And if not, you know, they're happy to take it back and refund. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the level one diagnostic testing that you think is helpful for spotting cardiovascular risk early. And I noticed, you know, you don't put that much stock on the blood tests, you know, the cholesterol, and the HDL, and the LDL, but you're into something called carotid ultrasonography, but a little bit of a different way of doing it. You're looking at intimal thickness in a way that I think standard ultrasound may not address. Am I on the right track there?
You're really on the right track, and we can all tell that you've been involved in integrated medicine for a long time, that you know the buzzwords that other people may not know. So ultrasound's 40 years old. It's made so that when somebody goes into the hospital with a stroke, the ultrasonographer comes in and looks at their carotids and looks at the flow, the color changes that occur in the Doppler of their carotid, and they'll then take a JPEG or a picture, a still picture of the area, and they'll walk in and they'll say to the radiologist or the cardiologist, here's your lesion, here's what caused this stroke. Well, none of that is preventative. None of that gives us a timeline as to where a person is on the spectrum of either leading to a stroke or blocking up an artery. So what we've done is we've changed the way ultrasonography is delivered by creating a video capture system. And what that means is that we can videotape the whole entire carotid from your collarbone all the way up to the ear, and we can do it in both the horizontal and transverse plane. So if you hold your hand out in front of you with your palm down, that's horizontal, and then turn it up so your thumb faces up, that's transverse. We can turn the ultrasound head, and what that allows us to do in a video is make a pseudo three-dimensional picture. Nobody else can do this. And what that allows us to do at 30 frames per second is interrogate the walls of the artery, and we're measuring three things. We're measuring the thickness of the wall of the artery, which is called your intimal medial thickness, and statistically that shows who is a candidate for cardiovascular risk. The second thing we're looking at, is there plaque there? And plaque is that calcium, dead white blood cell, gunk that gets picked up on the wall of the artery. And I'll tell you why in a minute. And then the third thing we're doing is we're measuring whether that plaque is soft plaque or hard plaque. Hard plaque builds up over time.
Okay.
Soft plaque breaks off and leads to a stroke.
So this is an important distinction, because for a lot of studies say, well, you know, you're 10% or you're 20% or you're 70% blocked. It just looks at plaque as if quantitatively, like you have a little, none, a lot, too much. But here you can look at it qualitatively, because, you know, some plaque is relatively benign and other types of plaque more dangerous. It could break off, it could form a clot, or it could be a site where platelets stick and start the ball rolling towards a stroke.
Correct. And we've got a patent pending on our plaque regression algorithm, which tells what part of the plaque is soft. So if you have a soft piece of plaque anchoring hard plaque to the wall, then that's really dangerous, especially if there's hypertension or high blood pressure. Think of power washing the side of your house, and you're going to tear apart the paint on the side if you do it too hard.
I just saw there's a truck in my neighborhood, which is for chewing gum removal from sidewalks. And it beautifully illustrates the principle, because it's such a strong spray that it can literally blast the chewing gum off. But of course, if that happens in your arteries, you're going to blast a little fragment up into your brain, and that's bad news.
And I'll add one more thing to it, which most people don't think about. As a society, we're getting heavier. And as we get heavier, our neck gets thicker. And as our neck gets thicker, two things occur. The distance of the carotid artery, the one that runs up from your heart to your brain, that artery, because of the thickness, becomes shorter and tortuous. Tortuous means twists and turns. And every time you have a twist and turn, you get these eddies of flow of blood. And it's at those twists and turns where you'll get more plaque formation. So if you don't have nitric oxide production, the nitric oxide, if it's there, then your arteries inside is like Teflon. If it's not there, it's like Velcro. And if it's like Velcro, it's going to pick up more plaque, more gunk, as it comes through in the blood. So as a society, we're getting heavier. Now, the second thing is, with that thickened neck, at night, we have either sleep apnea or snoring. And there's a great study in one of the journals that took people who snore, and because of the snoring, they have much more plaque formation in their carotids.
Yep, absolutely. It's a big risk factor for cardiovascular disease. And plus, it sends a signal to the nervous system to hike the blood pressure. It keeps your sympathetic nervous system, stuck on power, and that can raise your blood pressure. So it's a lot of ways in which overweight and snoring and sleep apnea contribute to risk. I wanted to talk a little bit about the endopat, because I think a lot of people are unfamiliar with that as a means of predicting whether you're at risk. What does that involve?
So the endopat is a test that does something. I actually was one of the earlier writers of the terminology. It's called reactive hyperemia. What reactive hyperemia is that there's a signaling system in the body so that if any area is lacking in oxygen, the nitric oxide signaling system should tell that artery to dilate. Mm-hmm. And so the endopat is a test in which we put a blood pressure cuff on somebody's arm, and we have a finger cot on the end of their finger, a pulse ox unit. And so we can measure, just like in every hospital, we can measure the pulse oximetry, and the blood pressure cuff will occlude the artery. And so if you're producing enough nitric oxide, when we let that blood flow again, your nitric oxide should cause the blip in the blood volume at the end of the finger, and you're going to get an increase of pulse ox.
So it's a measure of the reactivity of your blood vessels, which is part of the reason why people get hypertension. They have less endothelial reactivity. They're stiffened arteries in the common parlance, right?
Correct. It's just like when our blood sugar is high and we secrete insulin, when our oxygen is low, we should be secreting nitric oxide, mm-hmm. and that should be dilating the arteries, mm-hmm. and there are people that are just not producing enough nitric oxide.
A nice trick
is that there's a nice little saliva tests that we use on our patients. Mm-hmm. We have them spit on the end of a stick, yep. and it turns color. And if it's dark red, then we know they're producing nitric oxide. And mm-hmm. if it's white, we know they're not, and there's gradients between.
Yeah, some of the companies that make beet juice actually give people those sticks so that they can see that after taking the whatever beet extract that they're promoting, that there actually is an improvement in nitric oxide levels. And it's very motivating for patients. It keeps them taking their nitric oxide supplements. So question for you is, the endopat seems like an ideal way to judge the efficacy of the Zona, because if indeed the Zona really improves circulation, generates nitric oxide, restores it, especially in the upper extremity, this test is done in your arm. Do you ever do a pre and post endopat on somebody who very judiciously uses their Zona, you know, say for a couple of months or 3 months, and is there an improvement?
There is an improvement. We've done this for years, and I'm going to add one more test to the discussion,
please.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do it.
The other test is called pulse wave velocity. So that actually is a better indication for me of the long-term effects of using the Zona Plus, because what the pulse wave is able to tell is how stiff the artery is. It measures when the heart contracts, and then it follows that pressure wave into the large, small, and peripheral arteries. So we have three different views of the pressure wave, large, small, and peripheral arteries, and we can measure whether or not the Zona Plus is doing its job by increasing elasticity in the large, small, and peripheral arteries.
What do you make of the EBT heart scan? Because we do put some reliance on calcium scoring in the coronary arteries as a way of predicting, you know, whether we really need to go full court press on cardiovascular risk, or whether we can tell a patient who says, say, borderline cholesterol that, you know, not to worry, you're doing okay.
So I don't want to talk over anybody that's listening in. If I looked at all the studies that try and battle which is better, IMT or electron beam or calcium score, then, you know, it comes out to be a wash with maybe IMT is more valuable. But the truth is, neither one is as valuable as it should be, because what we really want to know is soft plaque versus hard plaque.
And you can't distinguish with the calcium scoring. You really can't.
No, you really can't. And if somebody has a bunch of calcium dusting, then you're going to think they have a sky-high calcium score, and they don't. You wind up sending them for CT angio, and they come out clean. So what I like doing is I like taking a look at the carotids, measuring the soft and hard plaque, looking at the pulse wave velocity, looking at arterial stiffness, measuring the endothelial function, and then you have an idea. Okay, is it plaque formation? Is it endothelial dysfunction? Is it arterial stiffness due to other reasons like muscular contractility, not enough magnesium in the diet? So our whole program is based on an algorithm of looking at all 10 of these tests on every person. So I have doctors that will say to me, can't we just do one or two of them? And I'm like, no, because you do heart rate variability. That doesn't tell you whether or not they have plaque in their neck.
So it's a battery of tests, and you have a formula that kind of scores, aggregates them in some way to come up with a risk estimation. You know, that's a pretty cool concept. So for our listening audience, you know, they're probably saying, hey, this sounds pretty good. Where can I get it? So are you in practice, or do you consult with other practices, or do you list practices where this type of workup can be undertaken?
Everybody can always email me at doc@level1diagnostics. So it's DOC at level, and the one is the alphanumeric one, the number one, not O-N-E. And so people can always email me and ask if there's a doctor in their area. Level one is growing. It took a lot of time to go through clinical trials and FDA clearance and AMA coding. And, you know, it's like difficult at times to try and get new information out to doctors and get them on board. But we are growing, and I will always be glad to answer an email saying, here's somebody in your area. I haven't practiced since 2000. I've just been doing research and writing. And as you said, my latest writing is on coffee. So I'm having fun with that.
Yeah, give us a preview of that, because I think that deserves a podcast unto itself. But you know, what are some of the basic ideas that you want to get across in that book? We, you know, we're a little limited in time, but maybe you can just give us a taste, and we'll circle back, and when the book's released, we'll have you talk in more detail.
Sure, and I'm having chapters of it each month in the Townsend Letter for Doctors.
Okay.
It's a magazine that comes out for doctors. And if you look at antioxidants, everybody tries to make a big deal about their antioxidant values are better. I got to tell you that the typical serving of coffee has more antioxidants than orange, raspberries, grape juice, or even blueberries.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you get up in the morning, do your grip strength exercise, a little mind-clearing mindfulness, go sit down, drink your good quality coffee. It has to be a good quality coffee, because there are things in coffee like quinine and cafestol and plant phenols that are all healthy. And then there's other things in coffee that are not good for you. And we don't want those bad chemicals showing up like pesticides, and not only things that we put into the dirt that wind up in the coffee, but also chemicals from over roasting a coffee bean causes that burnt taste that you know, you may get out of a Starbucks brand. But those are from over roasting, those are things that are not good for your health. So you want to have a...
You're thinking acrylamides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I am. Good for you.
So I'm drinking as we speak, you know, and this is, every time I do a podcast, I always make sure that, I'm situated with a nice, cup of decaf sitting in front of me to wet my whistle in case I get a little, you know, stuck. So what I drink is, organic Swiss processed decaffeinated coffee. If it's decaffeinated, do you lose the benefit, or do you still get some of the beneficial antioxidant polyphenols?
You still get some of the benefits. I happen to think that caffeine is a wonderful chemical. I happen to think that if you add L-theanine mm-hmm. to your caffeine, it makes it so that it doesn't cause the jitteriness at all, but increases mental concentration and focus. And we have plenty of studies to show that. I think the Swiss process is the only way to go if you're going to decaffeinate it.
Right.
And we did take 30 to 40 different high-end brands of coffee, and we sent them out to laboratories measuring them. And I've got to tell you that there is one coffee that stands heads and shoulders above everything else, and it's called Purity Coffee, P-U-R-I-T-Y.
All right.
But again, in the morning you have that nice cup of coffee and you have it with some L-theanine and maybe some EGCG, which is a green tea extract, and you've just given yourself the antioxidant kick of the century.
Wow, excellent. Well, we look very much forward to it. This is going to be a book that's going to be released to the public in a full form. You're just sort of dribbling out the chapters in the Townsend letter, which not everybody reads, but that will eventually be a book?
Yes, it will. Probably in a couple of months it'll be on our website, and mm-hmm. We're hoping for 150 usable pages.
Great. Let's circle back sometime this summer, and we'll do a deep dive on coffee benefits or coffee risks, because I think you have to be a discerning coffee drinker to garner the benefits without some of the downsides, it sounds like. Well, thank you very much.
You absolutely do.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and thanks for sharing your expertise. And really, you know, you truly are a Renaissance man in this field. I think you've really put together a very compelling paradigm in the Level 1 Diagnostics Program, and I wanted to share that information with our listeners. Very useful. Thanks very much, Dr. Steve Helschein. It's H-E-L-S-C-H-I-E-N. And all the best to you, and we'll talk to you about coffee in a few months.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.